Hey everybody, and welcome back to Storytime with Shade. We are going to be continuing The Door in the Woods. Hope you've been enjoying it so far, and without further ado, here we go. Chapter 10. Jay was only 8 years old when his mother died, suddenly, from heart failure. He was young, but smarter than average, though teachers said he had troubles applying himself, and able to grasp even then, at such a young age, the absolute finality that came with death. After all, his father worked at the morgue, and he had trained him from a young age to not be afraid of death, that it was a necessary part of life. He remembered being around 6 years old when his father told him, "Everyone has two things in common. They were born and they will die." Still, while it wasn't exactly something he was unfamiliar with, the sudden death of his mother absolutely rocked him. His father tried his absolute best to still be a positive role model to his son, and would more or less succeed, but it was school where he felt most lost, and no longer able to connect with other kids of his age. They were discussing Beyblades or Pokemon. He was ruminating on death and the afterlife. He didn't have any friends at that age, just some boys he knew in class that he would occasionally play with, but nothing more. So, after his mother died, his father thought it an odd request that he was fine to go back to school so soon, thought he may want to take a little more time off. He didn't have concerned friends waiting for him there, after all. He insisted, though, and less than a week after his mother's death, returned to grade 3. Really, he was just bored, and tired of seeing his dad wipe tears away and then smile at him like nothing was wrong whenever he entered a room. He craved some kind of normalcy. He didn't get it. School children can be cruel, often without even trying. They avoided talking to him, they avoided eye contact, they wouldn't play with him at recess and would just run away, leaving him standing there, uninvited to any schoolyard games of tag or soccer. He couldn't decide if this bothered him more or less than the way his teacher treated him, like he was a broken toy or an abused puppy dog. Her eyes shone with pity in every look, and she took him aside his first day back to tell him that if he ever needed anything, anything at all, to let her know. It wasn't that on some level he didn't appreciate it. He did. But he doubted, even at such a young age, that the sincerity of such a statement, and felt more like it was something that she just felt obliged to say to make herself feel better. Not him. He never took her up on the offer. All of this he took in stride, though. He could deal with being avoided, being pitied. He kept his head down and focused on his schoolwork, anything to keep his mind busy and off of whether worms were eating his slowly decaying mother buried in a box. It was a nice box, but Jay felt that if bugs wanted in, a bit of wood probably wouldn't stop them. He also decided at 8 years old that he would like to be cremated. He saw a show on the History Channel about Viking funerals and thought that they sounded way cooler. It was on his third day back, a sunny October day, when one of the boys in his class asked him, though it seemed forced, most likely by his parent or a teacher, if he wanted to play some football with them at recess. Jay said yes, not because he liked football, or even wanted to play, but because it felt normal. And that was nice. They were in grade 3, and therefore unable and unallowed to play tackle football. But they opted for good old two-hand touch football instead. Of course, though, they only kept this up as long as there was a teacher within eyesight. As soon as there wasn't, the real game began. They were loud and raucous, physical, though not violent, and competitive, even though the teams were made on the spot, and it didn't count for anything more than bragging rights until the next game. Jay wasn't very good at it, though to be fair, at that age none of the boys were, but was still having a great time. Felt closer to normal than he had since his mom had passed. In the middle of the game, Jay ended up catching a lucky pass, evaded a couple boys, making one slip and fall in the mud, and scored a touchdown. Half the boys cheered while the other half groaned loudly. A few boys ran up to Jay to give him pats on the back and high fives. He was grinning like a fool, and it hurt his face. When was the last time he smiled? The celebration didn't last long, though, and one of the boys that had failed to stop Jay and had fallen in the mud emerged from the opposing team's pile of boys to exclaim loudly, "Not fair! I touched him! I touched him! It didn't count!" Now, this boy wasn't in Jay's class, and Jay wasn't sure if he was older and small for his age, or younger but liked to hang out with the older boys. His glasses sparkled in the sun as he squealed the last word, and it seemed to echo across the school ground. Some boys near Jay were moaning. One piped up and said, "Don't be a sore loser. It was fair and square. You didn't go down. You did." And another sang, "Yeah, you might have touched him, but you know that don't count for nothing when the teacher's not around." To this, many of the boys on the opposing side rebutted, shouting out their defense for their teammate. Ultimately, no side really gained ground. Jay didn't really care. It had felt great to score that touchdown for about 10 seconds. Now he was wishing he had just kept his head down today and politely declined the offer to play. Jay said, "It's okay, guys. Not that big of a deal. We'll just reset. Don't get your panties in a bunch." This was something Jay had picked up from some television show his dad had let him watch, and the boys at that point in time, it was the absolute funniest thing they'd apparently ever heard. Some of them guffawed, some went, "Ooh," and one fell to the ground clutching his stomach saying, "Panties! Ah!" Steven's face went bright red. Though he was small and had circular glasses, not unlike the ones that his own father wore, there was something in his face that stopped the laughing boys dead in their tracks when they saw it. He was clenching his teeth and had a nasty little sparkle in his eyes. Suddenly he calmed, which was somehow scarier, and a small smile spread across his lips. "We shouldn't have even let him in, guys. We all know he's a fucking freak. His dad works with dead bodies. Your mom probably died to get away from you two weirdos." The crowd, as well as Jay, was stunned into silence. Steven was seemingly emboldened by this and walked towards Jay, continuing, "I heard when he was doing the autopsy on her, he tried to fuck her one last time." Some of the boys gasped. Some on Steven's side chuckled, though somewhat embarrassedly. The rest were still in silence. Jay didn't even know at that age whether his father did autopsies or not. He hadn't asked, and he didn't care. At that point, any rational thoughts had suddenly vanished from his mind, and in their place was a seething, white-hot rage. He ran at Steven, then punched him square in the face, hitting a bit of nose and mouth. The nose started bleeding instantly, warm, bright red streaks flashing in the October sun. He pinwheeled backwards and fell back down into the mud. The second that Jay had lunged, boys had started quietly chanting fight, and after the initial shocked sounds and comments the boys made from seeing Steven's face turn red with blood instead of embarrassment, they started yelling it. Steven had clambered to his knees and ran at Jay in an attempt to tackle him to the ground, crying and screaming as he did. He rammed his shoulder into Jay's stomach and knocked the wind out of him, sending both of them tumbling to the ground. Jay still managed to get the upper hand, though, and after a few seconds of grappling in the mud, was on top of Steven. He punched him in the face again. Steven was flailing around wildly and shattered Steven's glasses. A piece of glass wedged into his cheek on the next punch. He should have stopped, and he knew this, deep down, but didn't. He wanted to teach Steven for opening his mouth, and he wanted to discourage others from ever doing the same. He wanted to feel something other than sadness. Rage would do. Surprisingly, none of the boys stepped in, and Steven had endured a dozen solid punches to his face before a teacher roared through the crowd and pulled Jay off of Steven, who lay in the mud bleeding and sobbing, blood and snot and tears. Jay could barely remember being brought to the office. He knew that he got yelled at, that his dad was called, that he was suspended. But he sat there the whole while silent, his mind racing but unclear, unable to focus. The rage had passed now, and the sadness crept back in. He was ashamed. He didn't know how his dad would treat him. He missed his mother. He asked to go to the bathroom at some point while waiting for his dad to pick him up, and when he got out of sight, he ran. He pushed through the big double doors of the main hall and sprinted down the steps. He didn't know where he was going or why. He didn't think much at all. He picked a direction and he went. He knew he was in trouble and he couldn't face his dad. Maybe he would run away. At some point, he started crying, eventually slowed down to a walk, but didn't stop. He had at some point entered the woods at the edge of town. Tired and emotionally drained, he continued to walk for some time, sobbing to himself quietly, until he arrived at a knocked-down tree where he decided to take a rest. His crying died down to irregular hitches of the breath, and he looked around, finally realizing that he must be lost. He didn't panic. He was still too afraid to see his dad, to face him, so he sat for a little while longer. It wasn't long before he noticed the darkening between the trees ahead of him, and what appeared to be his mother step through. She looked at him with what seemed to be pity. He looked at her, unable to believe what he was seeing. He stood on shaky legs and took a step towards his mother, who shook her head at him quickly and motioned for him to sit back down and not to join her at the doorway. He took a step backwards and sat back down on the hard wood. His mother smiled at him. Before an unease crept over her face, she waved and vanished. Jay stayed a while longer, just looking at the space between the trees and willing his mother to come back. He eventually made it home safe, but walking out of the forest, he was sure to take mental notes of how he had gotten there in case he should want to return. And he did. Throughout the years, not more than a couple weeks would go by where Jay didn't visit that mysterious, dark doorway in the woods. But he would never see his mother there again. And that is where we're going to end things off this week, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, please, rate, review, comment, anything you can to get this podcast seen and heard by more people. Really appreciate it. Thank you again so, so much for everybody that listens and continues to listen to my podcast. There will be another one next week continuing the story. Until then, have a good one.